for those of you that missed it, we had a really great time here New Year's Eve night. We found out we've got a lot of people in here that can sing. So we had a fun time. We did some karaoke, some Christian karaoke. And so we had a really good time doing that. And we shared a little bit about the vision that God has given us for the church for this new year in 2020. And how many of you know the Bible says that if we don't have a vision, if we don't write the vision down, then people perish and people cast off all restraint. And so I really feel like God has spoken to us and given us a vision for the church for the year 2020. And we're going to talk about that today. And so if you're taking notes, the title of my message today is Intentional Obedience. Intentional obedience. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. And our verse for the year 2020 is going to be found in John 14:21. So if you've got your Bible, you can either turn it on and go to John 14:21, or you can open it up to the New Testament and you can go in the Gospels to the book of John, chapter 14, verse 21. And I'm going to read that out of the New King James Version of the Bible today. It says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now, this is a beautiful verse of Scripture. This is Jesus talking, and he's basically telling us a few things in this verse, and I'm so excited about this. Basically, what this verse is saying is if we obey Jesus' commands, we show that we love him, right? We can come to church, we can do many things, but if we don't obey Jesus, we don't really love him. That's what he's saying right here. And Jesus says if we obey Jesus' commands, we're going to be loved by the Father and we're going to be loved by the Son. How many of you want to feel more of the love of God in your life, more of the love of the Father on your life, more of the love of the Son on your life in the year 2020? I want to experience more of God's love in my life this year. And Jesus is telling us if we want to do that, if we obey Jesus' commands, he tells us this: he will manifest himself to us. The Passion Translation says he will manifest himself in our lives. How many of you want to see more of Jesus manifested in your life this year? You want to see Jesus manifested in your character. You want to see Jesus manifested in your home. You want to see Jesus manifested everywhere that you go. And Jesus is giving us the key right here that if you keep my commandments, if you have them and you keep them and you obey my commandments, God is going to love you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that is. So the theme for our church this year is intentional obedience. And I want to tell you real quick what that word intentional means. It means done on purpose or deliberate. It means done on purpose or deliberate. That's what intentional means. And now obedience means compliance with an order, a request, or law, or submission to another's authority. Compliance with an order, request, or law, or submission to another's authority. So when we put intentional together with obedience, we're going to see Jesus manifested in our lives in a greater way in 2020. Amen? And that's what God is going to us. So I want to ask you something. Maybe you're thinking this morning, why should I obey Jesus? Why should I obey him? Maybe there's somebody here watching or somebody thinking that. And I want to tell you this. If we don't become intentional in obeying Jesus' commands, we'll continue to make allowances for our disobedience, and we're eventually going to reap the consequences. Many of us know the right things to do. Many of us know the right ways to live. Many of us know the Word of God, but there's a difference between knowing the Word and doing the Word. Jesus didn't say, if you have my commandments, you love me, and the Father loves you, and I love you, and I'm going to manifest myself to you. Not if you have the commandments, but if you have the commandments and you keep the commandments, that's the one that loves me, and that's the one that I'm going to manifest myself to. So in manifest obedience is what it's going to take to the commands of Christ if we're going to see Jesus manifested in our lives and in our midst this year. Amen? Would you pray with me this morning as we get ready to get into this word today? Father, I just come to you right now in Jesus' name, and I thank you for the power of the word. Lord, we're not lost this morning without word. We're not lost this morning without direction. Lord, the problem is not that we don't have direction. The problem is that we want to do what we want to do instead of what you tell us to do. And so, Father, I'm asking you today that as the gospel goes forward, that our lives would be touched, God, and that we would be so in love with you, that we would fall so in love with Jesus, that the one one desire that we would have would be to obey you fully and totally in every area of our life. Father, I'm asking you today that the anointing would go out in this place as the word of God is preached, and that you would prick our hearts and that you would change us from the inside out. And we give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say this before we get into the word. We must be intentional if we want to obey Jesus, because obeying Jesus does not come natural. How many of you have recognized that? Even when you got saved, your spirit wants to obey, but you have a flesh that does not want to obey. It does not come natural. And many of us get frustrated and we think, man, am I really saved because I'm still wanting to do all these things? Absolutely. If there's a war going on inside of you right now and you say there's a part of you that says, man, I really want to please God, and there's another part that's getting dragged away to do things that you know are wrong, and then after you do the wrong thing, you feel bad and you look at yourself and you say, man, why did I do this again? That's the war between the flesh and the spirit that's taking place in your life. That lets you know that God is doing something on the inside of you. Because how many of you know, before you gave your life to God, you had no problem sinning? I don't know about you, but I didn't have any problems whatsoever sinning before I gave my life to Jesus. I had a good time doing it. I may have felt a little bit bad, but I didn't feel too bad. But after I got saved, what I realized was, is I didn't lose the ability to sin. I just lost the ability to sin and enjoy it. Why is this? If we're gonna obey Jesus, we're gonna have to be intentional about it. Why is this? I want to just start off with you when you were a kid. See, we learned things as children. We grew up in environments where we learned patterns and habits, and those patterns and habits weren't natural to us in the beginning, but over years of disobedience, they just became natural. It became the default thing. I want to give you an example. If a baby wants to be held, a baby doesn't care what you're doing. It doesn't care if you want to hold it in 5 minutes. It doesn't care if you're cooking supper and just give me 3 minutes. What does that baby want? It wants to be held right now. And it's intentional about letting you know that. It's going to cry until you pick it up. If they want a bottle, there's no reasoning with that baby. If they're hungry, they could care less if you've got to get up and go to work in the morning. They don't care what's happening. They're intentional about letting you know, I want that bottle and I want it now, and you're going to go get it or you ain't sleeping. Right? Our daughter Miriam, when she was really young, she was in Italy and growing up, and she was learning two languages at the same time. The word for milk in Italian is latte. But she didn't say latte, she said lahu. And she would walk around all the time, lahu, lahu. And she would do that. And it was so cute and everybody loved it. But at 2 o'clock in the morning, I would hear lahu, lahu. And I'm telling you right now, I made this mistake as a dad, because she was only my second kid and I was still learning. And I would get up, and she was maybe like 18 months old, and I would try to reason with her. And I would say, listen, babe, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't have milk. You have to sleep now. You get milk for blahu. And I would say, you understand. And then as soon as I'd start to walk away, lahu, lahu, she didn't care. She meant she was intentional about getting that milk. And what I understood was, if she's going to get the milk one way or the other, I might as well just give it to her and go to sleep. There are going to be times when she grows up and gets a little bit older, and then I'm going to get to exact my revenge on her, right? Because then when she understands, then she's not going to be able to do that anymore. And so that's just that's free for you parents this morning. Amen? We learn to sneak what we want, and we're intentional about it. Even as kids, I remember as a young boy, it was one of my earliest memories. I was in Walmart, and I remember when you used to ride in that shopping cart with your mom going through the store. I was so little, I could probably ride in that shopping cart till I was about 12. But I was actually about 4 or 5 years old, and I remember riding through Walmart. And you remember those little coin purses that you could fold, and they were plastic, and you could put the coins in there? And they were just had those perfectly where I could just grab it as we went by. And I grabbed that, and I was looking at it. My mom said, we don't have the money for that. Put it back. And I act like I put it back. I act like I put it back, but I did like this and actually stuck it in my pocket and hid it. I was intentional. I wanted it, and I was going to have it. And when we got out into the car, I remember getting in the back seat when she was loading everything in, and I opened that thing up, and I'm sitting in the back seat just feeling good about myself. She didn't want me to have it, but I got it anyway. My mom looks through the window, sees that, and she was very intentional about what she did next. And she pulled me out of there and tanned me up, and then she sent me back in and made me go to the manager. I remember I was a tiny little kid, and she said, go up there and tell him what you did. I don't want to tell him. She was intentional. She made me go up there, and I went up there, and I told him I stole this. And she said, you tell him what you did. No, it didn't find its way in your pocket. You took it. And she took me back in there, and I'm going to tell you, that guy was very intentional the way he handled me too. I never forgot it. And I learned something through that, but we understand we will sneak things that we want. When we become teenagers, what do? We intentionally rebel against our parents' instructions. Some of us do it outwardly, and some of us do it inwardly. Some people rebel, and they're just so hard, and they'll say it right to their parents' face, and then other kids will act like this, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and they drag their feet and walk away knowing they're not going to do what they're told to do. They intentionally rebel. They just do it in a different way. When I was growing up, there used to be this band, some of you will remember it, called Twisted Sister. Anybody remember Twisted Sister? They had a song that said, we're not going to take it. We're not going to take it. And it was all it was teenage rebellion. He was basically singing this song to his parents saying, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to do what we want to do. Now in this generation, they've got Lil Nas. And what is he singing? Can't nobody tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me nothing. It's the same thing. It's that same thing. It's that do anything. Now let me do what I want to do. I'm gonna live how I want to live. Nobody's going to do anything. Now, let me ask you this. Why do we do these things? Why do we do all this? We all have a desire to only obey ourselves and do what we want to do if we're honest. We don't want parents to tell us what to do. We don't want bosses to tell us what to do. We don't want police to tell us what to do. And we don't want God to tell us what to do. We want to do what pleases us, and we're very intentional about it. Now, I want you to just think about that for a minute. You are very intentional about doing what pleases you. You will make time for the things that please you. You make time for the things that you want to do. You will come home because there's a show that you want to watch, or you'll DVR that, or you'll plan your schedule around this. And I'm the same way. I'm talking about all of us. We're very intentional about doing what pleases us. Society tells us what? Do what makes you happy. That's the worst advice you can possibly give somebody. Follow your heart. That's a close second. Yeah, how many people say that? Follow your heart. Just follow your heart. The Bible says don't follow your heart. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. Who can know it? It will lead you astray every time. Society tells us obey what you want to obey. Live how you want to live. Do what you want to do. How many of us remember Adam and Eve had one thing they were told not to do, and they only had one thing. And they were intentional about disobeying God. They made the choice themselves to say, we know what you said. You said, don't do this. And guess what, God? We're going to do it anyway. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to live how we want to live. Then God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel and much of the Old Testament. If you read the Old Testament, much of the Old Testament is the children of God trying to keep the Ten Commandments and what? Failing miserably at it. Because nobody can keep the law. Nobody's capable of keeping the law. And in this cycle of kings and judges and prophets, they were ordering people to terrible consequences. And what would happen? People would repent of their sin. They would come back to God. And then inevitably, people would begin to do what? Exactly what they wanted to do again. And isn't that what's happening today? It's no different than what's going on in our day. But I want you to understand, then people repent. They turn back to God during times of difficulty only to begin to fall stand in ways after a while, and the process repeats itself again and again. If you don't understand this, the gospel will not make sense to you. The good news of Jesus Christ, why? Because around 2,000 years ago, Jesus comes along and does what no one else can do. What did Jesus do? He obeyed all the commands of God perfectly. Jesus kept the law without fail. He was absolutely sinless. The Bible says he was tempted in all ways, yet he was without sin. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law like some people think, but I came to fulfill the law. The reason you and I can go free today because of what we've done is because of what Jesus did. Because he paid the price, he lived and kept the law, and the Bible says he became sin so we could become the righteousness of God in him. He died for our sins and our disobedience. He died because we intentionally wanted our own way, and he intentionally went to the cross for us so that you and I could be reconciled. And he offers eternal life and freedom from God's wrath to all who repent of their sins and put their faith in him. And then Jesus did something amazing. He trained 12 disciples for 3 years before he went back to heaven. He took these 12 guys. One of them was a son of the devil. One of them was a son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, and he went his own way. But those 11, and then they added another one. I want you to look at this. Jesus took those 12 disciples for 3 years before he went to heaven, and the last thing he told them before he left and went back to the right hand of the Father, we're going to find in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And I want you to go there right now. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is so important because this is the mission that we all have. This is what Jesus gave us. This is the last thing that he said to his disciples before he was taken up into heaven. Now I want you to look at this. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Look at verse 20. "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age." Jesus said, make disciples by teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. That means to be disciples. The commandments of Jesus Christ are so important to us if we want to be disciples. Obedience to Jesus' commands is the mark of a true disciple. I want you to think about that for a moment. Obedience to Jesus' commands is the mark of a true disciple. And we need to be intentional about familiarizing ourselves with the commands of Jesus found in the Gospels. If I were to ask us right now, and I'm talking myself included, give me five things that's commands, and how can we keep them? Right? It's very hard to keep something that I don't know. We need to be intentional about keeping Jesus' commands in front of our eyes and ears as much as possible, and we need to intentionally examine our lives and see if we're being obedient to his commands. Why? Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 46 through 49. Luke 6, 46 through 49. Go ahead and say amen when you got it. And not speaking. He says, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, I want you to notice that very first verse, verse 46. Jesus makes a distinction when he's talking to people, and he says, "Listen, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I say? Why do you say that I'm your Lord?" To say Lord, that word Lord means master. And if I say Lord, I cannot say no. You understand that? If no Lord, it shouldn't even be in my vocabulary, because if he is Lord, that means I obey everything that he says. And Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord if you're not even going to obey me? There are many people today that call Jesus Lord. And they'll talk about the Lord, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they'll even get on TV and they'll say things like that. And yet they don't obey Christ. And I'm just going to tell you today what Jesus is saying in this verse is he's saying, listen, if you don't obey me, don't call me Lord. Don't go out into the world and tell people that I'm your Lord if you live according to your own desires and you live according to your own commandments and you live according to your own dictates. Don't tell people that I'm your Lord. Don't do it. That's what Jesus is saying. And I want you to see what we can learn in these verses here is hearing Jesus and intentionally obeying his commands will build a foundation in your life that cannot be shaken. Not just hearing him, but hearing him and obeying him will build a foundation in your life. No matter what stream comes against you, no matter what temptation comes against you, no matter what torrential downpour comes in your life, no matter what storm comes against your life, when you hear the words of Jesus Christ and you obey what Jesus says, power is manifested and Jesus can't in your life. Jesus cannot be defeated. Jesus cannot be shaken. What was the promise in John 14, 21? When you obey me, I'm going to manifest myself to you. The obedience to the word of God brings about the manifestation of the power and the love and the joy and the peace of Jesus Christ into your life. And I'm telling you, the only way it comes is by obeying Christ. We wonder, where does the power come from? Where does the love of God come from? Where does the joy of God come from? Where do all these things come from? John 14, 21 tells us, you want to see the power of God manifest in your life? You want to be able to go somewhere and open your mouth and just see God move on people's hearts? Obey Him. Obey Him in every area of your life, not just the parts that you want to, not just the parts that you like, but find those parts that you don't like and work to obey those things. Because when you try and you put forth that effort, this is the beautiful thing. You cannot keep the commandments of God in and of yourself. We're going to look at that in just a minute. It takes the power of God moving in your life for you to be able to keep the commandments of Jesus. But what happens is when you make the decision and you move, God manifests His power in your life so that you can actually bring to completion that which He commands you to do. Man, I don't know about you, but that is just exciting to me. What else can we see in this? I want you to understand that hearing Jesus and not obeying will bring about ruin when the storms of life come. One of the reasons that many Christian people are discouraged, they're without joy, they walk around looking like they're sucking on lemons all the time. You've seen Christians like that walk around like that. If I wasn't saved, I wouldn't want anything that you have. If you're walking around looking like that. And I'm just telling you, one of the reasons that we look that way, one of the reasons that we're defeated, one of the reasons that we walk around and we feel like, oh God, when are you going to deliver me? And He's saying, listen, I've given you my word, child. If you'll get up and obey, if you'll do what I told you to do. What did He say to Cain and Abel? Do you remember all the way back in the book of Genesis when Cain was looking like that and God said, what's wrong with your countenance? Why is your countenance fallen, Cain? If you do what's right, won't you be accepted? And we think it's the devil, and we give the devil all these props and all this stuff. Man, he's powerful, and he's doing all this. It's not the devil. It's our own disobedience to the commands of Christ. I'm preaching a whole lot better than y'all are saying amen this morning. I'm just being honest with you this morning. Is it okay? We're going to go through a season in this church where we're going to preach the commands of Jesus, and we're going to trust in the power of God operating in our lives to give us the ability to fulfill what Christ commanded, and we're going to obey Him, and we're going to see the power of God manifest, not just on Sunday mornings in our midst, but everywhere that you go. That's what God wants to see. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus' commands are not burdensome to those who love Him. You have to understand that. If you're sitting here thinking right now, well, Pastor Jesus said a lot of stuff, and man, I don't even know if I can keep all this. I don't know if I want to do all this. I'm going to turn in love with Jesus. Fall in love with Jesus. The only thing you want to do is what He says. When you're in love with Jesus and He says do this, it's like, oh my God, yes, Lord. If that will please you, that's exactly what I want to do. Forgive my enemies. Forgive those who hurt me. It ain't for me, Jesus. It's all for you. If that's what you command me, Master, then that's what I'm going to do, because I want to see you manifested in my life and I want to see you manifested in other people's lives. The commandments of Jesus are not burdensome to those in love with Him. As a matter of fact, His commands are life-giving because He gave the command and He gives the power to keep the command, you and I can experience the manifest presence of Jesus in our life. The Bible tells us His yoke is easy and His burden is light to the one that obeys and is in love with Him and empowered by Him. Now I want to look in Matthew 4:17. It's the last verse we're going to go through today. Matthew 4:17. This is the first thing in Matthew that Jesus commanded when He began His ministry. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Many times as believers, we will say things like this: well, I repented a long time ago. I repented of my sins. I came up to the altar. I repented of my sins. I gave my life to Jesus. And we think that that's the end of repentance. A lot of people think that. Now, I want to tell you today, if you're going to, for repentance to be real, we're going to have to understand three things about it at least. And I want to tell you what those are. For repentance to be real, true repentance, Number one, it must be understood. It must be understood. You have to understand what repentance is. A lot of people think repentance is asking for forgiveness, right? If I repent, that means I ask for forgiveness. Now, asking for repentance or asking for forgiveness is not repentance. It's a part of it, but it's not repentance. Because if I walk up to Kelly and I go like this, hey, forgive me for hitting you, man. Would you forgive me? Thank you. And then tomorrow I come back and I hit him again. Did I really repent? I asked him to forgive me. And can I just every time I hit you, oh, you're going to block me now. Forgive me. What are you going to say? What is he going to say? He's going to be like, well, wait a second. This ain't right. You're using that as a crutch. And see, that's what a lot of Christians do, is that we think repentance and forgiveness are the same thing. God already forgave you in the cross of Jesus Christ. You've been forgiven. Everybody in the world that has ever sinned has already been forgiven in Jesus Christ on the cross of Jesus, but everybody hasn't repented and turned from their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ to receive eternal life. Does that make sense today? So if you're a Christian and you think, well, I'm just going to do this and I'm going to ask for forgiveness and next week I'll come back and I'll ask for forgiveness, that's not repentance and that's not what we're talking about. And if you don't repent, you can't be born again. Just asking for forgiveness doesn't make you born again. What makes you born again is when you truly repent of your sins and Christ does something in your life and he manifests new life in you, and then all of a sudden you've got new desires on the inside of you that want to please him. Amen? So repentance has to be understood. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that leads to a changed life. That's a good definition for repentance. Repentance is intentionally turning away from sin and intentionally turning to Jesus. In other words, for repentance to be real, I know that I'm living life my own way, right? I'm living it just the way I want to live it. I do what I want to do. I act the way I want to act. I say what I want to say. I go where I want to go. And then all of a sudden, I'm walking in this direction and I meet Jesus coming that way, and he's going the opposite direction, and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Real repentance goes, I'm going the wrong way. Everything I'm doing is the wrong way, and so right now what I'm doing is I'm turning my back on a life of sin, and I'm going to follow Jesus in repentance. Does that make sense? I want you to have a good understanding so that you understand when Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what he was telling every one of those people is stop living your life according to your own ways and according to your own dictates, and understand that the king, you've got to turn from that and you've got to follow me. For repentance to be real, it must be understood and it must be willing. The second thing is it must be willing. What do I mean by that? No one can force you to lay down your will. Nobody can do that. Nobody can force you. Nobody can force you to submit your. A lot of times we're preachers that love God and that want to see people get saved do a really good job giving altar calls and forcing people into raising their hand to accept Christ. I've done it before. I'm going to be honest with you. I've talked with people on the street and I had such a passion for them to give their life to Jesus, and I wanted to see them saved so bad that I just kept on and kept on and kept on like a good salesman until they finally just said, okay, I'll pray with you if you'll leave me alone. Right? And that person didn't any more get saved than that chair did. Because they did it with me because I was so zealous for God that I wouldn't let go until they did it. And the church is full of people like that don't have a relationship with God and don't really love God and are not willing to follow Jesus, but they came down to the front one day because there was somebody standing up here that just kept saying, I know there's one more in here. I know somebody else. You need to get down to the front. And I'm not saying that's not good to do sometimes under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because that can be powerful, but that can also manipulate people and make them do things that they weren't going to do anyway. Repentance has got to be willing. God will not force any man or woman to choose him. I want you to understand that today. God, you can come into this church and you can go anywhere you want to, and God will not force you to love him. It's an amazing thing. The God of the universe, the creator of the universe, the one that made you, the one that numbered every hair on your head, the one that knows your days, the one that knows every thought in your mind, the one that knows when you're going to die, the one that was there when you were born, the one that always has been and always will be, will not force you to love him. He gave you life. He gives you breath. He gives you air. He gives you every single thing that you have. You think that you bought this and you think you bought that. God gave you everything that you have because the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. There's no self-made people in here. Every one of us has received from God what he desired to give us. And still you can turn your back on him. And that's what true love is, because love has to be a choice. It has to be willing. Repentance has to be willing. It has to be a person that looks at God and looks at themselves and says, I am a mess. In 1998, I've told you that this so many times, on a Navy ship off the coast of Malta, I saw myself and I said, wow, I'm a terrible man. Jesus, how could you even do something with a guy like me? And I saw the beauty of God, and I turned my back on my life, and I said yes to Jesus Christ. I repented of my sins. I wasn't in church. I was in a coffin rack on the USS Wasp, and I'm telling you, God manifested himself in my life and saved me right then because I repented, and I gave him my heart. You must be willing. He gives us all the free will to choose. And I want to tell you this. With that freedom to choose comes the responsibility of the choice. You can say no. You can tell him, I'm not going to live for you. I'm not going to bow my knee to you. I'm going to live how I want to live. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to act how I want to act. I know you said that. I know you died on the cross for me. Maybe one day I'll give my life to you. Maybe one day I'll turn my life over to you. And you can play that game if you want to. But I'm just going to tell you right now, all you have to do is once. If you've heard the gospel once and you've heard it today, what Jesus did for you, that's all God's going to give any of us. Now, I want to tell you this. When God is speaking to you and you know you need to surrender your life to him and live for him, he gives you the ability to choose your own way instead of his. There's been many people that sat in a church and heard the goodness of God and heard the love of God and heard what God wanted to do in their lives and got up and walked out, and that was the last time they would ever have an opportunity. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to manipulate you this morning, because what I'm telling you today is that it has to be an act of your own will to choose him. He chose you when Jesus died on the cross for you. My Bible says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, every person that you know is part of that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Every one of us has the free will to either repent and put our faith in Christ or turn our back on God and live our lives our own way. And the last thing repentance must be for it to be real is it must be sincere. It must be from the heart in response to the call of God in one's heart. When we truly repent of our sins, I want you to hear this. When we truly repent of our sins, when our minds change, power is released, and God not only forgives us and cleanses us, but he empowers us to obey him. There may be people in this room right now, and you're thinking, man, I have tried that. I've prayed, and I've said, God, forgive me, cleanse me. And then nothing happened and I just kept living the same old way. I'm telling you that when God is moving on your heart and God is speaking to you, and you know, there, nobody else has to tell you that. You know when God is speaking to you and when God is tugging your heart. And when he's dealing with you, if you'll do business with God in that moment, it may be in church, you may be driving down the road, you may be on a Navy ship, you may be running, doing PT, you may be sleeping and wake up, you might be eating lunch with friends, it doesn't matter when it is. But when God deals with you and when God is dealing with your heart, if you'll be real with God and you'll repent of your sins, I'm telling you, it's an amazing thing that power is released from Jesus and he enables you to do what you can't do in and of yourself. It's an amazing thing. What does John 14:21 say? Let's think about it again. He says, listen, whoever has my commands and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and the Father will love him, and I will love him, and what? I'll manifest myself to him. When you command to repent, What does Jesus promise that he'll do? When you repent, he manifests himself in you and through you. And he does what you cannot do. There are people here today that are probably thinking right now, man, I don't even know what's happening because I've tried that before and it didn't work. I'm telling you, if God is dealing with you today, repent, and Jesus will manifest himself in your life and you'll have faith to live a new life. We cannot obey Christ. I want you to hear this, and I'm gonna close with this, and then I want to give us a challenge. We cannot obey Christ's commands without empowerment from the Holy Spirit that comes from genuine repentance. So what do I mean by that? If we're not careful and we start talking about the commands of Christ, we can get very legalistic and we can live our lives like, oh, brother, you know Jesus said this, so you need to go do that, and sister, this, and we begin to get legalistic and everything gets legalistic, but that's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about and what the scriptures are talking about is that when you obey Christ and when you do what God is telling you to do, Jesus himself manifests himself in you to give you the power to do what you could not do otherwise. That's an amazing revelation to receive today so that you understand what God is doing. Any area where my mind, will, or emotions go contrary to God's word, I must seek to change by the grace of God and my obedience to Jesus' command. What I'm believing is over the next 21 days as we fast and pray together that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to every single one of us. Every one of us have areas in our life where we need to repent. And we need to trust in Jesus that he's going to manifest himself like his word says that he would when we obey him in those commands. And I'm believing that like I said, over these next 21 days, I'm believing what Pastor Crystal saw this morning is the beginning of that breakthrough of God coming down on our lives as we fast and we pray and we see the power of Jesus manifested in our lives to do what we can't do otherwise. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I want to give you a challenge right now, and then I'm going to have Kelly come up and finish us out. Let me give you a challenge today to be intentional. Anybody want to be intentional? I'm telling you, I want to obey Jesus so much because I want to see more of Jesus in my life. I want more of the Holy Spirit manifested in my life. I want to see Jesus manifest in my life and help me do things at home that don't come natural. Some husbands ought to say amen to that. I know some wives are saying amen to that. I'm telling you, God is helping me. And as I get honest with him and I get before him and I say, God, I know I need to do these things, but they just don't come natural to me. God, I want your help. And as I trust in him and as I repent of those things and I'm sincere and I ask him to touch me and move me in those ways in me, and God begins to change my heart in areas and he begins to manifest his presence in me and it helps me to do what I can't do myself. So here's your challenge. During the next 21 days of corporate fasting, we're going to intentionally ask God to show us areas where we need to repent and turn our hearts and minds towards God. So if you're writing these down, I just encourage you, take a moment and write this down. And while you're praying and fasting, ask God, Lord, show me areas. I believe God's showing us things right now. Show me the areas that I need to repent of and put my faith in you and see you manifest in my life to give me power. And I'm just telling you, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be intentional about reading, teaching, memorizing, and obeying the commands of Jesus. And we're going to do that through his strength and power and not our own. Amen? And what I want to do right now, many of you, if you're friends with me on the Bible app, you received an invitation from me already today, and it's an invitation to read 21 Days in the Gospel of John with Levi Lusco. And so if you're on the YouVersion app, you can look that up. It's 21 Days in the Gospel of John with Levi Lusco. And if you don't have the YouVersion app, all you have to do is take the Gospel of John. Who knows how many chapters there are in John? Somebody come on. 21. We got a few people that know. We're going to know by the end of these 21 days, right? Think about how great that's going to be. You're going to actually know how many chapters are in John. What a great thing to know. If you read one chapter a day, that's all that Bible reading plan is. It's a little devotional and one chapter a day. You're going to be reading the words of Jesus for 21 days straight. And that's the challenge from us as a church, to get the words of Jesus Christ in front of our eyes so that we can learn his commandments and we can begin to put them into practice. Amen. And then I want to give you one more, and I'm going to be asking you too. I'm going to see who really takes this seriously. You don't have to do it if you don't want to, but don't be surprised if I ask you. I want to encourage everybody in the church to memorize and meditate on John 14:21. John 14:21, one simple verse. John 14:21. It's an amazing verse. There's an amazing promise in it, and that's going to be our verse for this year. And you're going to be hearing it over and over and over again, because what I believe God wants to do this year is I believe that God wants to take us as a church together on a journey where we are going to look at our lives and we're going to look at the commands of Christ and we're going to obey Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see Jesus Christ manifested in our lives, manifested in our marriages, manifested in our homes, manifested in our businesses and our workplaces, and manifested in the community as we go out to share the love of God, because that, my friends, is what will change the world. For your grace. Amen. I want to just pray real quick, and then I'm going to have Kelly come up. Father, I just thank you right now for your grace and your mercy. I thank you.